The formation team reads: The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Welcome everyone to the second episode. I am so incredibly happy with how episode 1 turned out, and I am excited to see just how many people are tuning in. If this is your first time joining us, especially warm welcome to you. Thank you for tuning in, but I really recommend you listen to us in the order these podcasts are released. For all our returning listeners, I want to formally apologize for the tardiness of this episode. Our team was having some technical difficulties. No matter though, this won't drastically affect the scheduling of the rest of the podcasts. We are still planning to release episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays each week. Without further ado, let us get back to Lucy finding the odd creature in Chapter 2 of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Chapter 2 begins in the same way as most polite interactions start, with a warm greeting from Lucy to the fawn, the half-man goat creature that we discovered at the end of Chapter 1. "Good evening," she exclaims. After picking up the packages he dropped in surprise, he greets her warmly back and asks a rather odd question. "Are you a daughter of Eve?" Lucy is rather confused by this, and the fawn clarifies that he is asking whether she is a human girl. She confirms that she is, in fact, human, and after a nice dialogue, the fawn invites Lucy to his house for tea. Wanting to get home, she declines, but with some prodding, agrees, and they walk back to his place, arm in arm. Once they get comfortable, he starts to answer all of Lucy's questions. He introduces himself as Mr. Tumnus, and that she has entered the land of Narnia, where it is winter year-round. He explains that it was not always like this, that at one time he could frolic in the woods at midnight with his fairy friends and enjoy the river flowing like wine, everyone having a wonderful time. After this nostalgic story, he picked up his flute and played Lucy an enchanting tune that put her in such a trance she could hardly notice the time passing. When he stopped, Lucy realizes she had been away for a long time and politely said she needed to go home. Surprisingly, Mr. Tumnus responded, "It's no good now, you know," shaking his head sorrowfully. Lucy was confused by this response, and Mr. Tumnus explained that he was playing a terrible trick on her. He told Lucy that Narnia was under the spell of the White Witch who made Narnia always winter and never Christmas, putting all of its creatures under her rule. Mr. Tumnus also said the White Witch demands that if any daughters of Eve or sons of Adam are found in Narnia, they must be turned over to her. If they aren't, the witch would have his tail cut off, his horns sawn off, and his beard plucked out. As someone who has a beard, I can personally admit that this last threat is particularly painful. He explains that he planned to lull her to sleep and then report her to the witch. Thankfully, Mr. Tumnus has a change of heart and releases Lucy to go home, asking whether she could forgive him. "Why, of course I can," Lucy exclaims, shaking his hand, and, after running back to the wardrobe, fell back into England. As I mentioned in the previous episode, one thing to keep in mind when reading the book is how much C.S. Lewis's Anglican faith influenced his stories. Chapter 2 is riddled with examples of this. We begin the chapter with Mr. Tumnus referring to humans as being either sons of Adam or daughters of Eve. This is in reference to our faith's creation story, where God, after creating everything else in nature, creates Adam and Eve as the first people on Earth. In our reality, they are the only creatures that are intelligent enough to name themselves and inquire about the world around them. In Narnia, however, this is not the case. There is a wide arrangement of creatures that inhabit the land, and all living things have the ability to communicate with each other, each one having empathy for the wants and needs of the other. At the point in time where Lucy enters Narnia, however, humans are considered mythical beings, similar to how we treat fauns here on Earth. We catch a glimpse of this in the decorations of Mr. Tumnus's house, where C.S. Lewis named some of the books as Men, Monks, and Gamekeepers, A Study in Popular Legend, and Is Man a Myth? The other place where Lewis's faith influences his writings is at the end of the chapter, where Lucy very quickly and enthusiastically forgives Mr. Tumnus for attempting to turn her over to the White Witch. I don't know about you, but it wouldn't be easy for me to immediately forgive someone for betraying my trust or trying to turn me over to a cruel figure for something I didn't know I did. However, this is exactly what Jesus calls all followers of him to do. In the Gospel of Matthew, Peter asks Jesus how many times he is supposed to forgive someone. As many as 7 times? Jesus answers, I do not say to you 7, but 70 times 7. Now, he doesn't mean that the literal number of times you are supposed to forgive someone is 490, but that there is not too high a number. In the book of Ephesians, Paul writes that, as Christians, we are to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Lucy clearly shows this attitude towards Mr. Tumnus, always being polite and tender-hearted to him despite her own fears and disappointments. In this one chapter, Lucy shows an incredible amount of growth to where she was at the end of the first chapter, to a point where she is an example to all of us in forgiving those who have hurt us. Thank you all so much for joining me for another episode of The Formation Team Reads, The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe. Before we go, I want to pose a few questions that you can think over with the people closest to you. Number 1. Has there ever been a situation where you trusted someone that let you down in one way or another? And how did that make you feel? Number 2. Did you ever come to a point where you forgave that person? If so, what did that process look like? Number 3. What makes it hard for you to forgive someone as quickly as Lucy forgives Mr. Tumnus? This week, we have seen our first glimpse into the mystical and magical world of Narnia, a land of witches, fairies, and other legendary creatures. Now that Lucy has returned to England, what will she do with this great paradigm shift? Will she keep this message to herself and cherish it as a personal mystery, or will she reach out to her siblings and tell them of the good news that she has found? Find out in the next episode, premiering Friday, June 19th, of The Formation Team Reads, The Lion, The Witch, and The Wardrobe.